From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
Behind me 100%?
You always are.
I think this one is a special edition. Well, when I say special edition, it's always special because Keith Moses is here. But I say special edition meaning it's, I think, the 30th episode. So that's something of an anniversary, the 30th episode of the Parker Livecast. This is going to be probably a little bit shorter because we're going to focus on just one thing, and that is the Colorado River Indian Tribes Native American Days Fair and Expo. It's the 43rd annual Native American Days Fair and Expo. And so we're going to talk to Keith Moses about that. What are you over there? Are you the president of the expo, or are you the director of the expo? What are you exactly?
Testing. Is this on?
This is on.
I am the chairman of the Crit Fair Expo board. Really excited about this year because I think we got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say there's like a million things. I was looking at the program earlier and there's a lot going on.
It's unique because there's things that you can do specific to our culture, to what we're doing in our 150th year. I know everybody's probably, as we get to October, is sick and tired of hearing that it's our 150th year, but it is.
Yes.
So we're just keeping that in mind. It's the celebration of our reservation being formed. It's our 150th year celebration for that. And so everything that we've done has been themed with that. We have a powwow. We have rides, just like a regular fair where you can ride the rides, and they have the, I believe they have the zipper. They have a lot of different rides out there.
Carnival stuff.
It's a carnival.
Yeah.
And also we have stage events. We have some bands playing. We have some games going on that stage. One of the things I like to point out to everybody is that all our prices have not changed since we've started doing this. It's $5 at the gate to get in for everybody. It's just $5. Saturday is the climax of the fair, and we got the end of the powwows on that day. We got a good act coming in that night. His name is Thunderhand Joe, and he played with and you probably heard the song that they're popular for because it was featured in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Okay.
And it's Come and Get Your Love by Redbone.
Yes.
So he is a former drummer for Redbone.
Oh, I see.
And so we will hear that song on Saturday night.
Cool.
And other songs that he does, he'll be on the stage Saturday night. So that's our big band for that night. One thing that I'm really, really happy about is this year for our 150th year, we are going to have bird singing contest on that night over at the Mojave Village,
mm-hmm.
which is across the street from the fairgrounds, just right next door. You don't have to pay to go into that. You can go see the competitions going on there with the bird singing, which are really, really exciting. If you've never seen them,
they're cool.
You need to make plans to go over there and see that. That's going to start at 3 o'clock on Saturday and go on into the evening until they crown their champions. And I love when we get to the older guys, because they really go at it. You think they're not going to put their all in it, but they do. And they're really going at it. You don't even have to pay the $5 to go in there. It's free.
They'll be
selling food over there. They'll have booths over there, and we'll have the bird contest. So we invite everybody over there by this time. I don't know when this airs, but
Friday morning, it'll be up there. Yeah,
we did finish the Native Visions Film Festival this last week, and it's been an evolution. And this was the 11th year that we've been doing it.
I was just hearing a guy talk about the Joshua Tree Film Festival. Now, Joshua Tree isn't that far from here. It's a little town. Right near the entrance to Joshua Tree National Park. This guy said the whole thing went to crap. The people were showing up. There were like DJs and comedians and stuff showing up to be a part of this whole festival. And the directors came and all sorts of stuff. People, this guy flew from France to show his movie at the Joshua Tree International Film Festival or whatever. Uh-huh. And the whole thing went to crap. Apparently the two organizers fell out. And the girl took all the movies and the projector and everything with her and left. And so the thing didn't end up happening. I just heard about this earlier today.
Oh my gosh.
And I believe this was recent, like within the past couple of weeks. So the Joshua Tree Film Festival was an abject failure. While the Native Visions Film Festival in Parker, Arizona, just up the road, was doing really well.
I thought it was
really
a success.
Oh, man, it was great.
We were packed each night.
Yeah.
And you know what always turns out for me the Saturday night? It's just always mellow. it's like, you know, we've seen such good things this week, and we're just going to kick back and watch a movie, and it's just everybody in that crowd is just mellow by Saturday night.
Just chilling.
It was a good weekend.
Right.
And we appreciated John with the movie. I know we talked about that on other occasions here at the theater about the movie that we put together, The Marking of a Milestone, and well-received.
Very good.
We weren't at capacity in all four theaters, but we had people in all four theaters.
I said, what I've been saying to people is I don't think we could have gotten away with less than three.
Yeah.
Because the first two, the big ones, were maybe 80% full or more. The smaller ones were maybe half full. So you couldn't have gotten away with much less than three. And I think I think it was a good idea. It was, everybody was more comfortable having the four screens. To have a locally produced film pack out four screens is pretty amazing, you know.
It was good.
It was very, very good. And you have an executive producer credit on that. Are you sick of me yet? I mean, we've been working together a good few months now.
Well, we still have some things to do.
We have a few things left to do.
I enjoyed being a part of the process because it's always been my dream to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I have ideas of movies that I want to make. It started out with me going to the hospital, and they were showing me some videos about I'm a diabetic, so they showed me some things about what I have to do. But there were always other tribes, and I said, where's our movie about us?
Yeah.
Where's movies that we're in?
Right.
I can relate more to that rather than seeing a movie about some tribe that I don't know too much about.
Yeah.
And so that's what started me on this whole thing, and I started figuring that maybe we just need to encourage people and say, you can make a movie.
Right.
And nowadays you can. All you need is a phone. All you
need
is a phone, and you got a camera there and you're good to go. You can make. I just watched The Sixth Sense again. In his DVD release, he shows some of the first movies that he ever made. And they're these really, he made them with a cheap camera and stuff. And it shows all his old little movies that he made. And
that's
some
so
with
cool.
these dinosaurs and stuff. And you know, that's, you know, you can do that. Someone
it's
here
cool.
from here can do that. I just love film. And so we made a movie. You did a great job, Hemet Productions. All the feedback that I got from everybody was good.
Yes, I had a lot of good feedback.
Nobody
too.
Gave me any negative feedback.
I had a lot of people say that they cried during the film. In fact, one girl told me she bawled all the way through it, you know, that it was hard for her to watch, but also amazing for her to see. And, you know, she had nothing but good to say about it, but she found it emotional.
Yes, because it is. I think it's a very emotional film. And as I said in an earlier interview, it's an origin story. It's a story about who we are as Crit. That we're the Mojave, we've been here 150 years.
Yeah.
Later down the line, we had the Chemehuevis join us and the Hopi and Navajo. And we're all here. It's a unique tribe made up of four different cultures and four different beliefs that live together in one reservation, which I don't believe anywhere in the United States there is anything like
that. Yeah, I don't either.
So we're very unique in that aspect. But
and there's probably a lot more story to tell, actually, when you really look at it.
I've talked to several people about different ideas for a second movie and then also a third movie. So you got to make a trilogy. You got to make a trilogy.
Anything worth making once is worth making three times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's other things that we could talk about, but this is where it turned out to be, and we're just happy that everybody liked it. And
now, I know what people are asking now because I've heard it about 50 times since last week. Yeah, where can I see it? Because people who didn't have a chance to get there on Friday night or who were out of town or who couldn't be in Parker. In fact, I got a message from somewhere in Orange County asking, when can I see this film? I really would have loved to have been in Parker that day, but I wasn't.
Okay.
You know. So what's the answer, Keith
Moses?
So
right now, you can't. You should have came to the film festival and watched it. You didn't, so you lost out. That's
wow.
all I'm saying. Because right now, it's not in any other format that you can actually see it anywhere.
Which is normal after a film premiere somewhere. Usually there's a little bit of a lag before you can see it anywhere.
And we're doing a little tweaking on it, and we're doing a little fine-tuning on it. Eventually, somewhere down the line, it will be on YouTube. That much I can tell you.
Okay.
Eventually,
it'll just be up on the internet and people can see it for free.
Yes. It wasn't a movie that we put together that we were going to charge anybody for.
Right.
That was the whole concept at the beginning is we weren't charging for this movie. We needed a movie to tell people who we are. I think since I've started, I'm going to switch the role here. Since I started being the vice chairman of CRIT, which I was elected last year and I started in January, I've been trying to get us more into the public and let people know who we are. Because even though there have probably are people that have lived here for years and years and years and worked along people from CRIT and worked with everyone, that there are things that they don't even know about who we are. And we, as CRIT tribal members, assume things too. We assume you guys know who we are. We assume that you know all what we believe. But you don't, you know.
Well, what you believe, but also the history of this whole area.
Everybody knows this, but yes. People don't. So we needed a movie like this to let our community know who we are, first of all.
Well, and you asked me to say a couple of words at the beginning of the film at each screen. And we would go from screen to screen, so we did it four times in a row to start each screen's screening of the film. I think my little speech was kind of lame, but really all I said was that, you know, that I learned a lot. That was basically the thing. And so what you're saying is you want to teach, and I think this film helps to do that.
Yes, it does.
Because it helped me to learn. I mean, I didn't know a whole lot about
I had
anything.
This conversation today with someone earlier today about the movie. They were happy with the movie and the way it turned out.
Yeah.
And I said it turned out that way because we let John put it together. You know, we weren't saying, John, you need to do this, you need to do that, because I don't think we did.
No.
We just kind of tweaked a little stuff.
Yeah.
But because John didn't know all this stuff, and John learned this stuff as he was going along. So I wanted a movie that was unique for other people. I wanted a movie put together that when other people see it, they would learn also, like John did when he was shooting the film, all these things that CRIT is.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we got, and that's what we wanted, because we could have been a little heavy-handed and said you can only do this, but you can't do that, and we did some of that, but we didn't do a lot.
Very little. Very little.
We just kind of left it up to you, and I think that was one of the good things, too, about you, and even though I teased you, J.J. Abrams, about not releasing anything about the movie, but I think that was a good thing, too, because sometimes when you release it to people, then they want to say they already want to put their restrictions on it, and I knew that might happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was okay with nobody else seeing it except for those who needed to. And
yeah, it's interesting. Like, I wrote a piece on Parker Live last week about sort of just letting people know that the film was going to be on if they wanted to see it and giving a little bit of information. And one of the things I said in there is I described the interviews with CRIT elders as rare. I used that word.
Yeah.
Because it occurred to me last week when I was sitting down to write that article, I have never seen any of the four tribes' elders being interviewed anywhere, ever.
No. Because so they won't let you.
Because they won't let it. No. Right. Yeah, there's a whole kind of a cultural thing there.
Traditionally, you're not supposed to do that. But and we our hats off to David Harper, who him and the Mojave elders.
Yeah.
And his speech that, and I was in there, that he said to them, you know, it's good that we carry on our traditions verbally and we do this, but we need to put something down that will last.
Right.
Because our elders are leaving us.
Yes.
And we're losing a lot of information that we don't have anymore. And somehow we have to preserve that, and somehow we have to carry that on. And he spoke with them, and that was how the movie got going, based on his speech to the elders, is that we need to have some documentation that so that people years from now, after the 150 years, 150 more years go by, they'll know what we're about and who we are.
And I know that those raw, unedited interviews that didn't make it into the film. I know that some of those went on for a while.
Yeah.
They're going to be useful to future CRIT people, future archivists and to historians and
we're going to store, and John made a concession with me on the movie. I said, John, I need to have everything that you shot. I need to have all the original interviews and the final cut. And he said, okay. because I know John didn't want to give me all the original. But for us,
I never have. I've never given any raw footage to anybody ever.
It's something unique that because we did spend. I talked to that person today, and I said, you know what? When we did the interview with Delano Carter, we were there almost all day.
It was a long time.
We started
time.
In the morning, and we were there all day with him.
Yeah.
And even with the Stevens
family. Wasn't he
great? And he was great. I think that was, again, I point out.
He's the star of the show.
Everybody says that. He was the highlight of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. And I told him afterward, I came up to him and I said, because I knew that he was apprehensive. I knew he was apprehensive, you know.
Yes, he was.
About how he came across and all of that, because it was an emotional segment. And I came up to him and afterwards, I said, Was everything okay? He says it came out very well. And I said, I'm glad you think that way. And I said, and I think it was very important that that part was in there. And so I said to him, I said, thank you for being in this film. And he said, and he looked at me and he goes, you're welcome. And that was it.
That's
it was just
all
easy.
Needed.
Just very easy. Yes. And that was all I needed.
Melissa told me a story about you that you were standing in the theater with him when it was getting to that point, and then you didn't want to be next to him.
I left.
And you left.
Yeah. I was nervous too.
I was out in the lobby, and then I was going to go back in, but then Amelia Flores, who is part of the narration in the movie, came out, and she couldn't. It's hard seeing yourself on screen. That's why I always say I don't want to have my picture taken or anything.
You didn't
like
want
that.
To be in this at all.
I am in it. I'm in it. I see myself in some brief cameo.
A couple of things.
I got a cameo appearance. So, but it was all in all, it was a great film festival. I don't know how I top it. I thought that last year with last year's film festival, I thought, how am I going to top Shoni Schimmel? And I topped it. I believe I topped it this year as far as the film festival. So
absolutely.
Now I've set the bar up high. How am I going to top it next year, John? You have to work on another movie.
Well done for that. It's an amazing weekend. It's really,
we have
really good.
A lot of people coming just for movies. Just for movies, and it's free. And then I do want to mention hats off to the Blue Water Cinemas and their crew. They did a great job because it was busy, busy, busy. And also Mike Hernandez, who is the projectionist, he has to manually turn the lights on. Turn the lights off, run around, adjust the sound. So I'm talking to him on the walkie-talkie, turn it up, turn it down. I know that it's a tough job for him to have to do that. So I really appreciate him. I told him, I said, I owe you something.
Okay, so the fair this weekend, this will be dropping on Friday at ParkerLiveOnline.com so people can stream it and send to their friends some of the information. It's on our events page as well at ParkerLiveOnline.com/events. But the real place that you want to go is Facebook, but
just
search on Facebook.
Search CRIT first. It'll pop up if you type in CRIT, and then you'll see the Native American Days. And then we also have stage events page and other things, the fair page, the parade page, for Saturday. I am in charge of the parade on Saturday also.
Yes.
It's going to go down. Joshua, I'm assured, now everybody listening Friday morning, I'm assured from Tim over there at the town of Parker that that road is going to be done by Saturday because everybody's been calling me the last 2 days saying they're breaking up the road. Is it going to be ready? Are we going to walk a different way? I said, Tim told me it was going to be done.
Right.
So I'm trusting that it's going to be done and it should be done.
For the record, do you have a contingency plan if it's not done? Over to you.
Do you think I do?
No.
Well, then you would be right.
Well, you might have to like move it one street down to
you
Kofa.
We'll just turn this way. We'll turn left. We'll go right, you know.
Yes.
We'll adjust.
Right, there you go. So 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, the parade starts. It's our Native American Days parade. Miss Indian World will be in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot to mention Miss Indian Arizona is going to be here also.
Excellent.
And also Miss Indian Northern Arizona will be here too. And they're all going to be in the parade. Sage Romero is going to be here, and he's going to be hoop dancing.
I heard that was stunning to watch.
He did that yesterday at the assemblies. We visited all the schools in the local area. And yeah, it was great.
Crazy.
Good stuff. We got a lot of stuff going on for this weekend's Fair Expo.
All right. Keith Moses, thank you very much for
You're
coming
welcome.
In. That was a fest of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was a slug. That was a gab fest. Thank you, my friends, for listening to the Parker Livecast. We'll see you next time.
It's a fad.
It's a fad. Podcasts are a fad.